Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, my name is P. Ellison and this is Dave Cribb.
Hello, good afternoon, morning, evening, good night.
And how are you, Dave? You all right?
Very well, thank you. Unbeknownst to people listening, this is the second attempt we've made to start the podcast. And I only want to draw attention to that because, not because of the technical failure in us not doing it properly, but because you tried to do a different opening and then you got very anxious about it. And I don't know, just I felt like it was going somewhere, but then you projected all your fears about how to start the podcast once again for about the third week in a row now.
I've got a standard style of introduction and I'm just going to stick to that because it's fine.
It works, mate. It works. It does the job.
Welcome to Friends with Friends, another episode where we dissect an episode of Friends in excruciating detail, and we've got another friend with us.
We have a friend. This week's friend on Friends with Friends, how many times can you say friend, is the podcaster and radio presenter Pete Donaldson. Hi, Pete.
Hello there, Dave and Pete.
Hi. Pleasure to have you here, Pete.
What I like about it when radio presenters, of which myself is one, Dave is one, as is Pete, try to deal with the timings. Because we're used to doing time checks all the time. We start a podcast by going, oh, I can't tell you what time it is. you could be listening to this at any point. How
cover
upsetting.
All bases.
Yeah.
There was a point, I think one episode, very early episode of this podcast, I said good morning. And not only did I realise that was useless for the reasons you just mentioned, but we were actually recording in the afternoon as well, so it was just it was wrong on all levels possible.
Just a mess.
Gonna have to set some very quick ground rules,
okay?
Because there's going to be some Pete based communication issues this week for the first time. So, have you got a nickname that you
PD at school? I successfully rebranded myself. People started calling me Donny. I didn't like that.
Donny.
I moved classes and successfully rebranded myself to PD. You can never choose your nickname, apparently, but I managed to do it in this case.
That's impressive. Well,
PD.
I've literally never had a nickname. I really haven't.
What?
I've just always been Pete, and then like no one even calls me Peter. I'm only just ever Pete now.
Oh well, because I'm always Peter up north. So shall I have Peter, and you can have Pete?
Why not?
Let's go with that. All right, cool.
I was edging towards Donny then. No, but
you can have Donny if you want. That's fine.
Peter or Donny, that's going to be you, and then Pete, you can just be Pete as normal.
That's fine.
Let's talk about what we're actually here to talk about, which is friends, and not various nicknames of various Petes. Peter.
Oh, God.
I've already stumbled. What's your relationship with friends like? The program.
fractured and fractious. I sort of grew up watching it, as I think everyone of my age did. I was very much in the core kind of, you know, 16 to 21 kind of demographic of people who watch it. And then I'd go out with, well, now ex-girlfriends who would watch it E4. E4 were just repeated. So I've got them pretty much all down pat. But then, conversely, on the other side of things, I'm very forgetful when it comes to character storyline and things like that. So I will get in the middle of an episode of Friends and realise I've seen it a million times before. I know everybody's seen every Friends before, but for me, rewatching a TV show is such a delight because I never remember I've seen it in the first place. I'll get to the middle of a John... I've read most John le Carre books, but I'll go, oh, I've not read that one. Get to the middle. Yeah, I've read that one. Not even the first two pages. I'll do this in the middle. So with Friends, this is the only episode I can actually remember off the top of my head storyline-wise because it made me laugh.
I'm very envious of you. I'd love to be able to do
it's
that.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
There's actually a standard Friends question, which I've realised I think we should ask more people, Dave.
Mm.
Okay.
Pete, please, can you clarify, who's your favourite friend and who's your least favourite friend?
But this is like what the writers have given these people. It's not necessarily the characters themselves.
Sure,
I think
yeah.
I think some characters. Does it have to be in the main cast then? I can't just extraneous members.
No. Expand beyond the six if you so wish.
The ugly native guy, I thought, got a terrible rub of the green.
Yeah.
I thought it was ugly naked guy, wasn't it? He was just ugly and naked all the time. I thought that was a bit rough.
And he appeared in two episodes, we've discovered.
Only two
in person.
What?
But it was,
oh, in person. Oh, right, yeah.
About six seasons apart, and it was the same actor both times.
Brilliant. Yeah, so fantastic
work. There was continuity there.
didn't Joy or Ross go over to the flat at one point and then get naked?
Yeah, it was Ross when he was trying to acquire his apartment.
Nice.
In a property system I still fail to understand because he was trying to lease an apartment off presumably another landlord. And to do that, he thought he'd persuade the current tenants that he was the best candidate. It baffles me.
It's no wonder that the New York rental properties are full of bedbugs.
Yeah.
It's because
illegal subletting going on.
It's because of that, yeah.
Where do you stand on Ross? The Ross issue is the one we have. Ross is polarising.
When I was a kid, when I was watching it for the first time when I was like 16, 17, and me and a girl I really fancied, who actually weirdly fancied me back. I know. Look at my withered face now. That seems very unlikely, but she fancied me back. And I just didn't do anything because I was a big old scaredy cat. We used to greet each other and talk about the last episode of Friends we watched the night before with a, "Hey, you." And that's a very non-Northeast thing to say to each other in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Hey you. I used to really hate Ross and thought he was terrible, and Chandler was the guy because he got all the peppy kind of gags and the lines. But as you grow older, you realise that Ross is very much the best character of the main set, I think it's fair to say.
Okay.
I think that was my conclusion that I came to as well. I laid my cards on the table very early on, didn't I, Dave?
You did, and actually the Chandler thing's interesting because I was the same as you. I remember thinking, Chandler, that's the guy you want to be.
Yeah.
When you're 14, you're like, he's so funny. Mm. And then you watch it back now and you go, shut the fuck up. Just be quiet.
He's just the way of exiting a scene, isn't he, really? Just, do a joke. Yeah, good. Yeah. Right, fans, we can play the music and then move on. Yeah, good. Yeah. Full stop.
So which episode have you picked by the virtue of memory alone?
I certainly couldn't remember the title, but I think the title must be something like The One Where Joey Gets a Porsche.
The One With Joey's Porsche.
The One With Joey's Porsche.
Season 6, episode 5.
Yes.
I'm going to do what I do every episode and read the synopsis out.
Yeah, okay.
You're listening and you haven't watched it recently, just to catch you up. So there's three plot lines in this one. Rachel forces Ross to get an annulment, but Ross is unwilling as he doesn't want to get divorced for a third time. When Rachel finds out, in retribution, she fills out the form saying Ross is gay, mentally unstable, and addicted to intravenous drugs, resulting in the judge disallowing an annulment, which leads Ross and Rachel to seek a divorce. Oh my god, there's a lot about Ross and Rachel in this synopsis. Mm. These are the Wikipedia ones we read every week, Pete, and they vary in length, quality, and sort of.
Somebody must be doing these. I wonder who it is.
Exactly.
Different people doing the one for each episode. It's why they're different lengths.
Meanwhile, Joey pretends to be the owner of a Porsche whose owner left his keys in Central Perk, and Phoebe babysits the triplets and ropes in Monica and Chandler. Chandler swallows a toy gun and has to be taken to the hospital, leaving Phoebe alone. So we've got three options. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with?
Well, you only get one. You only get one chance to do a Friends with Friends, and it's really upset me that I've chosen. Actually, watching the TV show back, I've chosen not the best episode, but I remember Joey getting his Porsche for the first time, and it really made me laugh. But the other two storylines are pretty dark and pretty basic.
I'll pick you up on two points you just made there. One. Most Friends episodes, as you watch them back, it turns out, and analyse them in detail, you go, that bit was what was happening for the rest of it? And the second point is, we do not have enough Friends to cover 240 episodes of Friends
with
Friends.
Back, right?
So
I understand.
There is always more than one chance.
Okay.
Well, let's start with the Porsche, shall we? Porsche is the main thing.
Well, you've spoken before on this programme about the fact that Friends introduce you to pronunciations that I don't even think exist in America. They just make them up.
Yeah,
like I think you were saying Barbados.
Barbados.
Yeah. Porsche. Apparently, they say Porsche over there.
Well, this is the thing. So I watched the first, and I remember doing it at the time, and then I watched it back for this, and thinking, oh, it's an Americanism. Mm. Everyone just says Porsche then.
Yeah.
But then halfway through, Ross comes along, just drops a Porsche bomb, doesn't he?
Does he?
Yeah. Does he? I didn't notice that.
Yeah. When you know, so Joey, we'll come on to this in a minute, but Joey's all kitted out, and Ross meets him on the street and goes, "Did a Porsche throw up on you?" And Joey's comeback is, "Hey, it's Porsche."
Oh, yeah. Right, okay, yes.
So there's obviously some sort of clash even within the Americas.
Well, didn't David Schwimmer spend a little bit of time in England? I remember he got headbutted by a Glaswegian. He got a Glasgow kiss in a party. Oh,
and he just knocked the end of that Porsche out of his head. Can I remember the first syllable?
I did actually Google definitive pronunciation of Porsche Porsche. Right. And even that was inconclusive. So God knows.
I think sometimes you get like Adidas and Adidas.
Adidas, yeah.
I'm never going to call it Adidas.
No.
I'm too old. Look, I'll keep up with the gay, bi, lesbian stuff. I'll keep up with that because that's important.
Yes.
But brand names, they can go, oh, no, I don't care.
Let's talk about Joey's behaviour then with the Porsche.
Yeah.
So I feel like this goes in waves. He finds the keys, he gets caught up in it, he sort of stands near the car. A couple of people implausibly walk past immediately and go, I like your car, I like your car.
Yeah.
As soon as he finds the keys.
The thing I found with, does that happen in America really? It's like, yeah. I mean, I know everyone like wants you to win and they're really happy with your success, but not to a degree where you'd walk past a man with a nice car and go, ooh, this is a nice car.
You've made it, man.
Well done, you, sir. Like just a random dude chatting to you about living upstate and stuff like that. It's just all very strange. Yeah. I don't know.
If I see people in nice cars, I automatically think they're a tosser because I'm jealous of their car.
Yeah, right. I always just sort of go, and I can't drive, so I have no lust towards a car in any way. The only car I've ever owned was a Lotus Esprit, those horrible angular 80s cars that used to be on the video games. It's oh, that looks so cool. Driving one nowadays, it'd be a nightmare. Too wide, too long, too weird. It's not having it. But I wouldn't go up to somebody and go, that's a nice car.
I think I assume that they're a show off just for that. Like, oh, there he is. Just sat in his nice car, the show off.
Yeah, I don't wear a jazzy t-shirt some days. And I'm like, oh, I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the bloody mood.
And the way Joey's acting would exacerbate that opinion, wouldn't it? If you're like, this guy's standing near his Porsche looking a bit proud, but he's outwardly just shouting, hey, basically, this is my Porsche. Look at me and my Porsche.
He's got the keys. He never gets inside.
Right. So this is the thing. He goes as far as to wash it.
Yeah.
Which is...
He washes and waxes it.
I just feel like if you've gone that far, take it for a ride. Just take it around the block.
The man who turns up with the car and complains that Joey's cleaning his car is one of the worst actors I've seen on Friends. Absolutely dreadful. He just turns up and goes, oh, I've got to do my thing now. And like Joey acts him out the park and he's not a great actor.
He gets quite a lot of lines for a Friends cameo, like basically an unnamed Friends cameo as well. It's not just, this is my car, give it back. They play a good 30, 40 second scene.
They have a little bit. The favourite bit is where Joey's going, oh, where did I put my Porsche? And he's swinging his keys around. Oh, no, he says, where's that valet got with my Porsche? And the bloke walks past and he goes, you've got the keys? Like, He can't get your Porsche. You've got the keys.
Fundamentally misunderstood valet system. So he eventually gets caught, doesn't he, by the guy, like you say. He comes along, he goes, give me my car back. Mm. At which point, I just feel like you might just give up the ghost then.
That part of the day is over.
I've done.
That part of your journey is over.
Fun. I had a Porsche for a bit, but now I'm done. But instead, he somehow sources a shop that sells an entire Porsche head-to-toe outfit.
Have you not fantasised about being that man? Because like, there's one in Piccadilly Circus that just sells, I think, Lotus stuff or maybe Ferrari. Ferrari cap, Ferrari kind of racing jumpsuit, Ferrari shades. It would be a look. You occasionally see people like that.
How much do you reckon it would cost to just on a whim?
It would be a surprising amount of money.
That's what I think.
Huge amount of money.
I think you'd kit yourself out up to like a grand's worth of gear. If you're buying every, like the hat, the jumpsuit, the boots, everything you've got.
Because it would all be quite well made, I reckon. I don't know what you think, Pete, but I reckon that would be really well made because they'd have to monogram everything with Ferrari or Porsche. Or whatever.
Well, like any branded car stuff is expensive, let alone like Porsche stuff, which is probably inflated price anyway. So he must have spent an absolute fortune to look like a dick.
And that man's a jobbing actor.
I was going to say, it's not in keeping with his financial situation, is it?
No, not in the slightest.
Also, since when did Joey like cars? This is not like a regularly referenced thing. Just all of a sudden, he's like almost a bit psychotic about the Porsche.
That's how he got the Top Gear job. Which he's just quit this week. That's how he got it.
Has he quit?
He's quit now, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's quit in the last few hours, in fact.
Are you thinking of Nick Grimshaw?
He quit the car of the Radio and Breakfast Show. No, he's definitely quit. He just said he's gone back to doing whatever joy. I once saw Matt LeBlanc in a posh members bar, and a girl was sat on his lap all night. Like, she didn't move from his lap. It was so joy. It was a wonderful situation.
How long ago was this?
A few years. Let's not date it. No. just in case you get him into trouble. But it was just so funny that he was sat with the other guy, Stephen Mangum, or his name Mangum is from episodes. Yeah, he was sat on
you immediately dated it to within the production's time of episodes.
Yeah, alright, well fine. They've had about five of seasons, haven't they? It's fine. But they, yeah, there was a guy sat on his lap all night and it really made me laugh because it was like, that is so Joey.
That's perfect, isn't it?
And then Don Draper walked in. I was like, this is going to get sexy. This evening's going to get real sexy.
And then what happened?
I went home and did not bring a girl with me.
Pete, you live such a glamorous life.
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, I didn't talk to any of them.
I was just socialising near Don Draper and Joey.
Oh, musk. A lot of musk.
Never the twain shall meet. So that's fine. So Joey gets the outfit and he starts acting terribly, hanging around doing the shouting, basically shouting, "Where's my valet?
Where's my valet?
Look at my Porsche."
And then two women turn up. So he's met a girl earlier on who's really impressed by his car, and then he later on she brings her friend along for some sitcom reason. Oh, I've seen this guy, he's got a car.
Have they arranged to meet back near the car? Have they said, "I'll come back later, I'll bring my mate, is it
aren't like Maseratis like 80 grand, 100 grand? I'm fairly certain these cars aren't quite as expensive as that. Like, it's the first tier of supercar, isn't it, really? Those kind of cars. Would you bring your friend over to look at a dude's car?
Yeah, an implausible amount of people are impressed by the car, and then to actually bring your mate, "Oh, I've met this guy, but he's got a car. Come and look at his car. Just come and stand in the street with us."
Yeah.
We're not going for a drink with him, where he might drive his car to the bar. We're just going to go and stand in the street with him. And it turns out he's gone... right over the edge now, hasn't he?
So he's gone mad.
There's quite a lot of madness in this episode, as we'll come on to. But
there is. I mean, one of my favourite characters back there definitely used to be Gunther. But if you look back at Friends, and I think that was something that was mentioned a few months ago, where when Friends joined Netflix and younger people got involved and had a watch of it, they found it a little bit more problematic than I think we probably do, because we remember growing up with it and stuff. And you sort of see these characters, like Ross's shit in this episode and what he's been up to, and Gunther as well. Gunther was always one of my kind of favourite characters back in the day, but then you sort of go back and go, "Oh, he's a bit of a passive aggressive thirsty shit, isn't he, really?" Yeah. "Oh, I'm going to bang a woman. I'm not going to tell her, though."
Yeah, he wouldn't be a nice man to be around at
he's
any
a worm.
Point.
He's a little nasty little worm. Incel. He's an incel. God damn it.
What I would like to have seen is what must have been probably up to an hour where Joey was building the car box. The box of cars.
It's the fact that there are boxes shaped like a bonnet. Yeah. He's gone to extreme effort to make this I think if I piled boxes up, I would struggle to make them look like a car that a child had drawn. even that would be difficult. And he's somehow found boxes that together look like a Porsche.
Yeah. At the front of the car they do have these boxes that have been clearly taped to be round. And you're going, "No, well, that's taken me out of it a little bit." Yeah.
Where do you even get that many boxes?
Suspension of box disbelief.
But we're seeing the end product of this. There must have been such a long period where the people that are apparently walking back and forth all the time, bringing their mates back and forth, well, they've just walked past him building a cardboard box car. Astonishing.
And with those covers, you don't cover the wheels as well. I'm fairly certain you don't. So,
That's true.
I was once in Japan and I saw a really unlikely car that you'd see in Japan, because the roads are very sort of narrow as they turn. But somebody had one of those covers on a limousine. So it just looked like
a
big
limo.
Yeah, like a big silver crocodile that they covered up. It was so weird.
And I love that when the guy catches a football and falls into the boxes, I love that's the point at which Joey goes, "Enough's enough." He spent so long building that car.
Give it my dream.
Just put the cover back on, mate. Rebuild your box car.
Where are those clothes going?
Exactly. You've got the rest of the year to live this out. It's only that one girl.
It's gone to all that effort of founding round boxes. So right. As well, rebuild, go again.
It's only two girls that know the truth.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show. That's right, BBC One's flagship early evening fluffcast doesn't get the in-depth chewing over it deserves. Until now, welcome then to The One Show Show, where we treat the Matt Baker, Alex Jones vehicle with the level of sophisticated examination one would ordinarily reserve for the likes of The Wire.
It's very sad that it's come to this, isn't it, Sandy?
No. And with that, good night. Down in the
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let's move on to the next plot line, Monica and Chandler. And this is a bit of a non-plot line, isn't it? Nothing really happens in this.
Chandler gets some zingers out a little bit. He's really not into looking after Phoebe's triplets. She's got some triplets
Phoebe's
somehow.
Brother's triplets.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
He's not into it. Phoebe has a lovely little bit where she goes, do you want to look after three adorable young puppies? And, and they go, oh, brilliant, yeah, definitely. And then she goes, and then she's leaving. They're not really puppies, they're children, bye. At least that's quite like Phoebe's very underrated, I think, as a
Phoebe
character.
Phoebe has some great lines in this. Yeah. I love her overacting as well when she's pretending not to know about Rachel and Ross still being married as well. She's just like, I'm shocked to my very core. Like, her overacting is really good.
This plotline felt like a very long-winded way of the writers getting across the message that Chandler's scared of having children.
Yes, that Monica wants children.
Right, and that was basically could have been done in two lines. They dedicated a good 8 or 9 minutes to it.
Yeah, I think all sitcoms should start with Monica going, ladies and gentlemen, I want children. Chandler going, I don't want children. No. I've got some slimming pills though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, where is he at this point?
He's somewhere in the middle. He's not. Yeah, 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 not too big enough to spell.
Standard, isn't he? Yeah,
Goldilocks standard. Chandler here.
So Chandler swallows this toy gun that he's brought in. He has to go away, leaving Phoebe with these kids on her own now.
Yes.
And there's some mad baby movement going on.
Yeah. Another one of those where it's just like, you've not spent you know when you watch a sitcom and you go, right, watching the, she knocks a vase over. And a bit of it snaps off, and I think that was supposed to smash into pieces, like the pieces, but just a little bit comes off, and okay, right, or maybe it wasn't because there's children around, I don't really know, but it cuts away from the babies for like 3 seconds.
Counting it, mate. Nine.
Yeah. And the babies have crawled away. Well, in the first instance, one of them crawls away and gets into a drawer.
These babies.
Or what they would probably call a drawer.
Up until this point, these babies have been unable to move at all.
They're not even crawling babies.
They are lying on their back.
Absolutely rapid, yeah.
Yeah, they're lying on the back like ladybirds that have been trapped upside down. And suddenly, in 9 seconds, one gets up, wanders over, opens a drawer and climbs in. It's astonishing. Phoebe then goes to retrieve her, which takes about 20 seconds, turns around, and both the others are out of sight.
I don't think this is real life.
The utter carnage as well that these babies end up causing when Chandler and Monica eventually come back and Phoebe's sort of sat proudly amongst the mess. Like, Chandler is willing to write off Phoebe ripping a curtain rail out of the wall because, like, he just seems very willing to be like, no, it's okay, you've completely trashed the flat, it's fine.
But you've got the scene that we find is as if, like, a flock of eagles has come in. You know, like, a proper big group of animals that can cause some destruction.
A raccoon came in.
And I know these babies are apparently excellent movers and very impressive, but it feels like they wouldn't have been able to make that much mess.
They've pulled a bit of kitchen roll off the kitchen roll, I noticed, and knocked some spices over, and it's just a mess everywhere. But yeah, are they trying to say that the babies did that, or Phoebe did that trying to look for the babies? I presume that's the conceit, but still... They've set up the babies teleporting around so badly, I'm willing to believe anything at this point.
See, that's interesting, because I genuinely just hadn't clicked with that. I just thought, oh, she's found the babies, and then in some sort of panic ensued.
Just angry, like, angry at herself and the fact that Monica left her. Just beat the shit out of her really lovely flat. Do you want a bit of baby trivia?
Always.
Of course.
I googled this episode and there's no trivia to be had apart from the fact that little baby girl Chandler, that Chandler is holding, is actually a boy. That's the only bit of trivia available for this episode.
That's
dreadful,
astonishing.
Dreadful trivia.
The casting of that there. So the conceit of little baby girl Chandler is that she was originally a boy in the sonogram. That's why they call her Chandler.
They make a big thing of the fact that Chandler's a girl.
Yeah.
So it's a girl that's supposed to be a boy that's supposed to be a girl but is in fact a boy. The third storyline then to round off this episode is the sort of Ross... Rachel, and I'm going to check in Phoebe here because Phoebe plays a little part, but let's start with Ross and Rachel because, I mean, this is, of all the madness we've encountered so far, this is the mad storyline alert, isn't it? So Ross, effectively, we join it smack bang in the middle of the sort of storyline where Ross thought it might be possible to be secretly married to his friend for the rest of his life without her finding
out. Yeah, without her knowing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is dreadful from Ross, isn't it, really? I mean, this is...
not a good look on any man.
This is unspeakable work from a man we're supposed to trust and respect and love. Yeah, we said that he's one of our favourite characters, but good Lord.
He just...
worse than Gunther.
In terms of awful Ross, it's probably up there with when Ross reveals that he's aware that he's accidentally taped him and Rachel having sex. Like, it's two of those moments where you're just like, okay, there's no defending that. It is just like dreadful Ross behaviour.
See, I have a bit of admiration for Ross in this storyline. Just the sort of faith that he places in his ability to pull this off for the next 40 to 50 years.
Yeah, I will make it work.
He's really just committed to this and gone, do you know what? This could be all right. I can't foresee a situation in which this becomes a problem ever.
But it's like he's trying to explain himself as having a really fragile ego, but at the same time having a really strong ego that he can't bear to be a failure for the third time.
Right, exactly.
It's so weird.
It's so bizarre.
Why did they? You know, like with like, have you seen the season of Atlanta?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I've watched the first couple episodes.
For the people who've never seen it, like it's one of the best things on telly. Donald Glover, Charles Gambino is everywhere, obviously, but it's incredible. But the whole of the second season are just character episodes where each character from the ensemble, they just go off and do their own thing.
Right.
And so, one guy will go off and do, a show where he deals, where he just hangs out with his barber. The woman in the piece will just go out and Charles Gambino's girlfriend, Donald Glover's girlfriend, is amazing. She's in the new Deadpool and she goes off and she goes to Drake's house and stuff for a party and stuff like that. So it's all these kind of things. Why did Friends never do that? Where it's just one character just going off and buggering off and going doing something else and just dealing with nobody. Yeah. They never really played with the format that much. Maybe it's just because it was just big stakes and they didn't want to lose audience or something. I don't know.
It's incredible though, given the amount of episodes they made.
Yeah.
That they never just thought.
They never just experimented a little
bit. Season 8, lads. Let's do Gunther going on holiday.
Well, they call it like a bottle episode where they're stuck in a cupboard or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
So much so that it also feels weird whenever you see them outside.
Yeah.
So, like, there's episodes where, like, Rachel is sort of stood outside Central Perk and stuff, and, like, even that feels unusual seeing them outside of an actual building. It's like you say, they stick to the same formula a lot.
It's still a set, very much a set.
Yeah, when they're outside the coffee shop, you are just going, well, that's indoors, isn't it? They're still indoors. But then, occasionally they're in a park or something like that, and you're like, they've blown the They've really taken this imagination train to town. So on this one, Ross, Rachel, they end up going to see this judge. And so then Rachel suddenly really ups the stakes in the madness and out of nowhere just goes, oh, he's unstable, he's gay, he's...
I quite enjoyed that.
That is a brilliant scene.
Telling the judge that that Ross is on heroin and cocaine.
It just feels like all Rachel really had to do to get this pushed through was prove that she wasn't as mad as Ross. As soon as it became aware that she'd just gone completely off the rails, the whole thing fell to shit.
Well, the judge is an actor by the name of Conchata Farrell.
Yes.
She was a nurse in ER. She actually played two roles in ER. She started off as a nurse, did about two or three seasons as a nurse, and then came back five seasons later just as somebody else, which I quite enjoyed. She was in Edward Scissorhands, True Romance.
She's in Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men as well.
For all 12 seasons.
There we go.
I've never watched a single episode.
No, God,
that's
no.
Someone told me. So
She's big ting. She's a great character actor.
She is big cheese. Conchata Farrell. Big shout out to her. What's she doing now? What was the last thing she did?
I don't know what last thing she did.
No. I always feel nervous about Googling the slightly older actors that appear in Friends because I don't want to find out that, you know, they're not with us anymore.
We've had a couple of deaths, haven't we?
Or incredibly racist.
Oh, come on. Missed it. Yeah, that too.
For the older generation, there's only two ways of going. Dead or racist.
That's our new feature on the podcast next week. Sorry for that. There's another bit in this plot which I'd like to pick up on. And again, this doesn't... We're jumping into the episodes non-chronologically. But I don't... genuinely think at any point ever has Phoebe referenced Denise, her flatmate.
Who the fuck is Denise?
So Rachel's after Rachel finds out about Ross, she's like, oh, I need to move out because I've been living at Ross's.
Right.
And Phoebe goes, oh yeah, well, I've got a problem too. My roommate Denise is away till December the 26th.
But she says it in a way that suggests that everyone should know who Denise is. She's like, oh, Denise hasn't like moving out and stuff.
Yeah. So,
Did the writers just sort of go, we need options for later episodes? We've mined her lookalike sister as much as we can. Well, we've mined her pretending to be her lookalike sister.
Yeah. Rachel doesn't even flinch as well, because Rachel's just like, oh, when does Denise get back?
I'd be mad livid if I was Denise there. Like, the entire premise of the show is that these characters just all happen to sort of live a bit near each other, and they're all the best of friends. Denise has never once been invited to a single party.
Interview Denise.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any other Denises in the Friends show. Just to sort of,
give it a Google,
see if there's any other Denises.
Dave, that's a good point about parties, because Friends, those Friends characters invite all sorts of people to their flat parties. Denise hasn't even been invited to one of those. They have random people off the street at their New Year's Eve parties.
Those New Year's Eve parties, and you're like, right, where's their black friend? Where's that? Because it's the whitest show in town, for crying out loud. Ross has one black girlfriend at some point during the series, and that's
Charlie,
one. And she's like, she's genuinely an interesting actor. She's incredible. She's like a famous geek or something. She's incredible. They're not very diverse, let's say, as a TV show. So they invite all these people, and they're like, just like the different nations of the world arrive. Like, it's the whitest show in town.
Oh, it's incredible. Denise, really, there's very little about Denise on the entire
internet.
This is the actual.
So I was just wondering if there was another Denise that we could kind of connect the dots. And sort of
there are zero Denises.
Zero Denises.
Robert Denise. No, apparently it's been referenced many times that Phoebe just lives alone.
And then Denise has moved in.
I found an entire article on Vulture about how Phoebe has created a fictional character called Denise.
Schizophrenia.
Really vague here, because I can't remember the exact details, but isn't there one episode where Phoebe references someone that maybe she lives with, or a friend or something, and the rest of them are like, who are you talking about? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, what, they reference that fat, right.
I don't know if it's about Denise, but I feel like Phoebe references a friend at one point, and they're all like, who?
It might be Denise. Maybe we've been mistaken about the number of times Denise... I can't click through to this Vulture article because...
Is it behind a paywall?
There's problems with cookies.
Oh.
And they won't let me check the box. But the little Google two sentences says, Phoebe has a fictitious roommate named Denise, whom she uses to teach lessons to her friends.
Oh, so she's used it before us, like
a moral compass. Bring out Denise when there's a problem. Well, if you knew Denise, I don't know how.
The lesson, more like.
Right, should we do the quiz?
Let's do the quiz.
This is our attention to detail quiz, Pete. So a few, any of the things you might not have necessarily remembered.
Oh, right, okay.
That we might just tick off in a little lightning round at the end.
As we discussed earlier on, or as I told you earlier on, I'm very forgetful.
So. Yeah, well, do you know what? A couple of weeks ago, we had Luke Franks on, who has the worst memory in the world of any human I've ever met.
Really?
And even he...
He's so young. Beautiful.
I mean, he can't remember anything.
Oh,
like,
poor
all.
Luke.
I know. I mean, he's doing very well in other areas.
He remembers his hair upkeep. Yeah. He remembers how to get that lovely tousled look. Or is it tousled? Let's
tousled,
ask
mate.
Monica from Friends. Is it tousled? It's one of those words that you see written down, but nobody ever bloody uses it anymore. So you go, tousled, and people go, what the fuck are you saying?
Tousled.
Tousled.
Pete, how long ago did you watch this episode?
It was before work, so I've pressed the Control-Alt-Delete button. So yeah, about 4 hours ago.
Okay, you should retain some stuff.
Okay,
there's a variety of difficulty in this quiz. Let's start with question one.
How's everybody else fared on this, by the way?
It's a real range.
It's a real mixed bag.
We've had a couple of proper stinky zeros.
Is that what Luke?
No, Luke got 2 out of 5. Yeah. John Holmes disgraced himself. He got 0 out of 5. That's the worst performance.
He's easily distractible, though. To be fair, he's quite because he's so poppy and kind of like he's always looking for a gag. He's like, I'm not interested in this. I'm not listening to this.
And then my friend Simon from school, who's appeared on this podcast, got, I think, something like 8 out of 5 because we just kept going to see where the limits would be and he just never stopped. So we're like, all right, fair.
That's, oh, fabulous.
That's what you've got to hit. Question one. What is Gunther's hourly rate at the coffee shop?
Oh, he's buying a car, isn't he?
Mm.
I remember the total was like 600. I waited for 300 years and bought it.
Right.
It was, I'm just going to guess, $7 an hour.
Do you know what? It's $4 an hour.
That's particularly low.
That's
very
low.
That's even for the 90s. That's
how
weird.
Is he living in New York?
This is why I call my...
He lives in the Central Park. He lives in Central Park, Annie.
Cool. Just behind the counter.
And crawls under the counter
and
every
he
night.
Subsists on a diet of being a creepazoid.
Question two. What was Chandler's high school coach called?
Oh, why would I even know that? He calls him little baby Chandler. Coach Smith. No.
Incorrect. It's Coach Reuben.
Reuben. Where would that have come from? I wouldn't even have guessed that.
It's one of those details in Friends that they wheel out every now and then where having the name of the coach adds absolutely nothing. But they've clearly put it in for some reason.
They've written it in the Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember watching, after the first season of Friends, and it was a big smash for Channel 4, they had like limited time with the cast. They had about half an hour with the cast. And I can't remember who hosted the show, but they basically, it was someone like, it was like a T4 presenter basically, just did a show where he got a live studio audience to throw questions at the Friends cast, and there was this one lad who was like who ran like a fan site for Friends, and he got every single last question right to the most ridiculous degree. From it would be like doing this quiz, but about any of the episodes basically, and he got them right every single time.
I'm not him.
I'm not him.
I think you might get yourself a point here though, Pete, because this question is about something that's discussed in a bit more detail, isn't it, Dave?
Question three. Where do we learn that Ross and Rachel had their wedding reception after they got drunkenly married?
Oh, I'm sorry, Pete. I've picked this up and now you're going to fail.
It was Vegas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They went somewhere afterwards. They got the couple's special, newlywed special.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Epcot Center, I don't know. It's something quintessentially American, isn't it? Not Pottery Barn, is it? Talking about that before, haven't you?
It's Pizza Hut, mate.
Pizza Hut?
Yeah.
That's so basic.
It's such a strange reference, isn't it? That's all right.
Sorry, guys.
All right, mate.
I'm having a stinker, aren't I?
I'll tell you what, mate. You'd have to apologise to us.
Question four. What action figure does Chandler want to introduce the babies to?
See, do you know what? When I wrote this question, I thought this would be right up Pete Donaldson Street. Also, I had no idea what this action figure was.
I don't think it's real, is it?
Shall I Google it?
It's like Captain Thor or something. Captain bloody...
It's one syllable. It's a one syllable.
One syllable.
Word.
Zod. No, he's real.
You're close, though, yeah.
Zog. No, that's too shit.
It's not too shit based on what the answer is.
Zot.
The answer is Krog.
Krog.
Is that not real then? I thought it was a real one.
No, I've Googled it. Nothing.
Krog. I wonder how they made that. They must have just got like a different toy.
It's quite an intricate toy, isn't it?
Stuck some horns on it.
If it's not a thing, then yeah, what the hell is he? What the hell is he holding?
I'm very visual. I remember his red horns. His red windy horns.
Weirdly, there's a whole. Of course, this is another thing that we're discovering, Dave. That there is a whole article on the internet somewhere about every tiny detail of Friends.
Brilliant.
For example, I've just found. Who is Krog, the action figure from the TV show Friends?
They're asking the same questions that we're asking, to be fair.
They've probably answered them.
Oh, okay. This actually makes an interesting point. Okay. Because the point of the figure was to represent a dangerous toy, they couldn't use a real toy or they will get sued by the company that made it.
Yes.
That is interesting, to be fair, because I was about to say that because they have referenced like G.I. Joe in previous ones and Action Man and Barbie and stuff. Okay. So. Yeah, there you go. Someone's thinking, aren't they? Someone doesn't want to get sued.
Good legal department there.
Question five, final question. This is where you can really earn your money back.
This is the last one?
It's the last one, mate.
Oh, God.
Last question. Last question.
No, this is dreadful.
Doesn't time fly when you're getting all the questions wrong? What did Ross think it would be funny to do just before Rachel decided it'd be funnier to get married?
What did Ross think it would be funny to do?
So this is at the end when Rachel goes, she makes this confession, do you remember? She goes, oh, it was my idea for us to get married in the first place when we were pissed in
you
Vegas.
You said this, and then I said, let's go get married.
Guys, I'm absolutely rubbish at this. I'm really sorry. I don't take it in. You're going to have to give me the answer, I'm afraid.
The answer is, eat a lot of grapes.
Oh, yes! I do remember that. You know what? That is the only one where I sort of go, yep, fair dues, I should have known that one.
Yeah, that's fine. I felt like if you hadn't got it immediately, you weren't going to get it. Do you know what? You've homesed it.
Wow.
You've absolutely John homesed it.
That is particularly poor. Can you remember the questions that he got given from his random episode that I've never watched?
Probably. I've got it on this note. What was his one? The boobies one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right, here we go. I've got the quiz. Oh, I mean, you're not going to get this, mate. All right, let's quick fire do any of these ones.
Yeah.
What is Joey's dad's business?
Oh, no. No.
Pipe fitting.
What is? Because he's an Italian-American guy. He's a plumber.
What is the surname of Ronnie, the woman Joey's dad's having an affair with?
Oh, you got no chance
of
getting any of these.
No, 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 this.
Well, that's a Rapalano. What is the name of Joey's doctor?
No, I can't remember the tailor. Remember the tailor?
When he's getting fell up by the tailor.
That's how you fit trousers. That's how you fit pants.
In prison. Dr. Bazita. I mean, I think if you didn't get any of the ones you watched 4 hours ago.
I'm surprised that John got even close to getting zero, I'll be honest. That's a stinking quiz. I hate this show.
Oh, sorry, mate. Well, please come back on it, will you? When we run out of friends. Thanks for coming on. Yeah. Oh, all right, mate. Jesus. We're blacklisting Pete now. No, sorry, we're blacklisting Peter. I was going to say. Already confusing. Hey, Pete Donaldson, thanks very much.
Yeah, guys, thanks so much for this. I enjoyed this immensely.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you very much.
It was an absolute pleasure. We'll be back next time with more. I've stopped saying next week just because our publishing schedule is really taking a hit. We'll be back next time with more stuff. Bye now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.